You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE, joined by Andrew Hettinger, who you can find on social media at Andrew Runs a Lot, and Matt Martin, who you can find on social media at Matt Martrun. If you want to follow all of us, there you'll go to Rust Belt Running.
Instead of starting you off with a bunch of ads, we're going to start you off with different ways that you can support Rust Belt Running. First is run coaching. Adam, why don't you tell us about it?
It's personalized run coaching. It takes into account the schedule that you have to get your runs in, the goals that you have, as well as the base that you come to us with. You talk to us about what it is you want to be doing, the time that you have to do it, and we come up with a personalized plan that fits your needs, works on you towards your goals, and helps provide a bird's eye view on your training to make sure that you don't plateau, to make sure that you're doing the correct training that's appropriate for you, and to get you showing up on race day confident that you're going to be ready to hit your race goals.
We all know running in groups can be more fun than running alone, and your training can be the same way. So grab a couple of your closest running friends and we can train your group of up to five friends together. With a personalized group plan, you can get the camaraderie of being on a team, but the personalization to fit your group's needs, similar to our individual training. Click on the RBR Teams link on our website and go smash some PRs with your friends.
And if you're looking for other ways to support the show, go to rustbeltrunning.com. There you can find different merch, t-shirts, bags, all kinds of things. All of that helps support us and helps us keep bringing you new stuff on our social media platforms, to the podcast, to our training programs. There's more than one way to support our show. So this helps us keep the show ad-free, keep us from making you go to a Patreon to subscribe for stuff. We want to keep it free. But yeah, go to rustbeltrunning.com, support the show, sign up for coaching. We'd love to have you.
Andrew, we're back. How are you doing, bud?
Well, I'm very grateful for science, and I'm very grateful to have avoided getting sick over the last couple of weeks while things have seemed to be going all throughout Ohio. I got my COVID and flu shots yesterday, and I want to die currently. And I had like a really rough 17-mile run. And I'm ready to go to bed. So if we could move this along, that would be great.
Well, great. I'm looking into my future because at 2:30 today, I'm getting my COVID booster and flu shot. So fantastic. I didn't have a 17-mile run scheduled today. I did do a pretty hard 10-miler yesterday, so maybe the night of sleep will spare me some of those effects, but that doesn't sound fun at all.
Yeah, I did not sleep well, so I'm used to it. I like to at least be able to pick the day that I'm sick.
It's true.
You know, that's and a lot of good stuff coming up in October, and I really wanted to be able to get this stuff, you know, done so that I could be, you know, pretty well protected going into, you know, the week of Chicago and maybe Columbus and obviously my cruise, which is the thing I'm most looking forward to. God, I need a vacation so bad right now.
I do too, so, and I just had one.
Yeah, you're in that, like, I need a vacation because I remember how much everything sucks now.
Yes.
That's it. How you doing? You're you know how you're going to be feeling looking at me, but how are you doing?
Yeah, looking into my future, and it doesn't seem great right now. You know, I'm good. I had a great vacation. It was probably the most, like, disconnected and just restful vacation that I've maybe ever had, and certainly needed it with the career change. It's like, I was very busy with all that before I left. I've unfortunately been immediately busy with that as soon as I got back. So I really enjoyed the 9 days or so that I was away and just didn't have any responsibility on my plate. But you know what? I'm good. This is a time of year that I absolutely love. The temperatures are cooling down. Colors are changing. Football season is in full swing. Just, you know, good stuff coming up. So I want a vacation again, but I feel pretty energized and refreshed by things, and I'm ready to go. Do you have a highlight from this past week you want to share?
I really came prepared with the I got my shots, but yeah, because other than that, I don't really have much. It's been kind of, I've been all over the place.
Same.
This week, man. I you know, elephant in the room, things didn't go well at Erie, and you know, I decided to call that, at about mile 10, I was like, yeah, this ain't happening today. It was just too damn humid.
Oh,
and so I decided to call it, and definitely made the right decision, but that hasn't been met with, like, I've been all over the place emotionally thinking about it. You know, like Monday was tough because, I mean, I was supposed to register from Boston that day.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that day was supposed to be. And I didn't get to do that. And then, you know, I'm good. Like, I'm good with the decision I made. So in that way, I'm not like upset, but like, I feel like an opportunity was taken away from me because of water in the air, you know, and that sucks. And then we, you know, I mean, I guess this kind of transitions us into our first topic pretty well. We got the news that, that there is record registration.
Bonkers numbers.
For the Boston Marathon this year, and there will be a cutoff. Not everybody will be getting in. It's 33,000 registrants applied, which is just wild. That's like 2,000 more than there were in 2019 when there was the 452 cutoff.
6,000, actually, I think.
Oh, was it 6,000?
I think it was 27,000 registrants that year.
Okay. Yeah, you might be. You're right. I might be thinking of the field size. That I'm doing that math. I don't think that that's going to be what the cutoff is.
Correct.
But I mean, it could be. Anything we say from this moment on is pure speculation. There is no evidence to anything. It's pure speculation. We have no data on any of it. But I mean, after 2 years of everybody getting in, you would expect there to be a massive jump in registration.
Yeah.
Like people who maybe wouldn't because they only had 2 or 3 seconds, you know, now like, well, I mean, shoot, I guess I have to now,
right?
You know, like so there's probably going to be a lot of them, which is why I don't believe we're going to be looking at 452 as that kind of, which if we do, I'm going to be pissed because, they're going to end up, you know, they probably won't change the standard this year. They'll probably wait for that pendulum to, you know, kind of correct itself again. But I mean, if I age up into 305 again, I'm gonna lose my shit because that's next year. That's next fall. I can age up into 310 at Columbus. So if I age up to 305 again, I'm absolutely going to lose my mind, and I will give up. I will 100% give up. I will not go after it anymore.
It's like Boston Marathon Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it really is. It feels the exact same, except we didn't like, I mean, we stripped gears going into it. Because like we had 2 years in a row. I mean, obviously we're coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, but 2 years in a row, you have everybody like get accepted. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like I think it gave everybody a little bit of hope that like, cause we know like registration in races is down, but like as a whole, more people are running races. So like yeah, it's weird, but you know, we didn't know maybe what to expect. I was caught off guard by that. Even as somebody who the last couple of years was like, there's going to be a boom in it. I kept saying it. I'm not claiming I'm right. I said that I thought there was going to be a jump, and I mean, it was a 50-50 chance. A broken clock is right twice a day. So I'm not, that's why I'm not claiming that, but it just happened a year later than I thought it would. What are kind of your thoughts on this? I mean, you're good.
Yeah. I mean,
you should be.
Oh yeah. I mean, at 13 plus like minutes, I'm solid. So like, you know, the first thing that I thought about when you said like everything that we say now going forward is speculation. You know, I've had conversations with a number of people about this the last couple of days. Erica, Jenner, and I were texting back and forth, and you know, when you see numbers like this, the first thing you start doing is you start going through like the, okay, you know, what are the different amounts going to be? Like how many people are in between 0 and 1 minute, and how many people are in, you know, the 1 to 2 minutes. And she was showing me somebody on Facebook, I think I don't know if it was in Boston or a Boston Marathon training group, you know, started a poll, like how much under the standard are you? And she was showing me the breakdown of all that. And man, I can remember when I was registering for the first couple of times when there was a cutoff, and you go through those weeks where you are just finding any amount of information you can.
That it's like weather stalking.
Yes. And you know, you want anything that you can find that's going to justify the hope that you're going to get in. And, you know, the first year that I did it, I obviously felt really, really good that I was going to get in because I was 450 under the standard in any other year. Other year I would have been in, except that one. I was 2 seconds off. You know, so when I registered the next year after they knocked the 5 minutes off, I was still, I think I was 610. No. I was, I think, 110 under, but you had to be, I think, like 132 under. And that was after they lopped 5 minutes off. And so like that year, that's when I started doing the whole like, oh my God, how far under are they? How many people registered? Right. And what's even tough about the number of registrants is that, you know, yes, the field size is 30,000. You know, for those who don't know in terms of how the Boston Marathon field plays out, there are roughly like 24 to 25,000 people that register the way that I do, that Matt does, JP does, Erica. And you wait to see if you made the cutoff. Then they have so many slots allotted for charity runners. There are so many slots. Well, not so many slots. If you run 10 consecutive Boston marathons, as long as you keep signing up, you're in. I think Erica has to get in this year, and then she's a legacy. Yeah. She can just keep signing up. Yeah. So there's actually a number of different ways you can get into Boston. It's just the registration is the way that most of the people get in. And so even when you look at those numbers, they don't really tell you a story of how many people are going to get in because that field is kind of fluid a little bit. They just cap it at 30,000 runners.
It changes. And I, which is part of what's so maddening about it. Mm-hmm. When I was discussing this on my run yesterday, and it's like they're not going to increase the field size at Boston. I don't think ever. Like they're going to have, they might have to look at that in the next couple of years if like they continue to get this type of response. Yeah. But logistically Boston is a lot and it runs through many, many municipalities and the amount of red tape that probably, despite how much that city gets behind that race, still the amount of red tape that would have to be cut to add, say, 3,000 more people to that event is probably a ton. And honestly, probably not worth it to the race. This is part, like we're talking about registration for the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Like it's something to talk about. Like how that's free publicity. It's crazy. I mean, you can go to sponsors, be like, hey, people just talk about us and we don't even try. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they could just make money. Like Bank of America's name is all over the place because everybody's talking about the Boston Marathon and this ridiculous registration number. So from a business side, like it doesn't make sense for them to change this process. Maybe again, if numbers continue to grow, like if this isn't an anomaly, if this is, you know, the beginning of a trend, they're going to have to make some adjustments or people are going to get turned off from the race.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, I mean, maybe one of the adjustments is they lower the standard again. I don't know. That's going to have to be. I would rather it be that than go through what you went through with that 450.
Yeah,
like yeah, that that's I cannot imagine. Like I know how I felt having the weather be against me, but to actually go out, accomplish the goal, have a ridiculous buffer that you have to think you're good. Yeah. And to have it taken away by 2 seconds, I would never run again. I would be 100 pounds heavier than I am now, guaranteed.
That was not a fun fall, and I was wrapping up Columbus training, so it was like, well, shit, I've still got to go do this. You've said it before in the past. I don't remember how far back this conversation goes, but you've said specifically like you really want to get the standard such that you are excluding as few people as possible. Like if this number were to continue, and I don't think it will, this is not something that historically has been where the numbers are. I think you've got a lot of people who, you know, over the past couple of years, you know, maybe weren't as comfortable with travel. The other thing too, is you got a lot of people, you have to decide if you're going to put in the work to BQ. You know, the field for the 2022 race, which was the first return to spring running in Boston, because 2021 was in the fall. Mm-hmm. The field size for 2022 wasn't announced until I went back and looked it up. It was November 2nd, 2021. So, you know, 2021, think about how fluid that year was. How many people decided, you know, I don't know what racing looks like in my area. You know, New England was far more strict even in 2021 than a lot of the rest of the country was. How many people made the decision, you know what, 2021, because I don't know how racing looks, I'm going to go ahead and hold back and not train. And then they find out in the fall, like, oh, 2022 is back to a normal size field. Well, then, you know, even getting ready for this past year, then you have to kind of make the decision if you're going to run a spring race. And I mean, you and I have both talked. We don't love training for spring races. I think a lot of people really don't love training for spring races. But then if you're going to run a fall race to try to get into 2023, your options are pretty limited because you're running in this window that we currently just got through. And it's like, you know, Erie's a great race, but because it's early September, you don't know condition wise what it's going to look like, as you and Abe unfortunately found out last week. So it might be that a lot of people that are in this window, they did their racing last year to get into this after kind of being on the fence about really wanting to train that hard because of how fluid things were in 2021 and 2022.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? We just don't know. We don't know. It's probably a combo of that and the amount of people who registered with no buffer who typically mm-hmm. wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think the cutoff, how big the cutoff is, will tell. It'll clear the picture up a little more. If we set that record and the cutoff is, say, 2.5 minutes, mm-hmm. then we know it's a lot of people who are right on the edge.
Yeah.
Who kind of pushed it there.
Yeah.
Or if it's less than that. If it's higher, then we are in for a weird ride of Boston registration over the next couple of years as things correct themselves and the race tries to, you know, correct it too. And I get to, you know, keep my sights set on 305 for the rest of my life. I can't wait to be 75 and still have to run a 305. Like, I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
The next wave of super shoes has little rockets and people just keep getting faster.
And I'm still 306, 35 right there.
It's like the e-bike version of running shoes. I can't quite get there.
Oh my gosh. Don't tell Erica. Don't bring up the e-bike. She'll get real defensive and act like it's a workout still. She's like, I turned the assist down. It's not a workout, Erica. I'm sorry. I should be nice to her because she's I'm road tripping with her and Niles to Chicago.
I heard about that. Yeah, she's all excited about that. You get to spend their anniversary with them in the car. That's
that I didn't know. I'll get them a gift.
No, I was gonna say I am with you in that I do think the race will give it 1 year before they make any decisions. Just because it's such a wild pendulum swing. The previous high, like we mentioned, was 27,000 plus in 2019. You know, if you have something like that, then you will have, you know, a little bit of a swing back and you can probably have a more manageable field where fewer people are being excluded underneath these current standards. I don't think they'll want to make a huge jump like that again. Because I think the risk that you run then is if the pendulum swings back the other way, then you have an incredibly small field because all that standard is so strict.
I mean, they could do – it doesn't have to be in five-minute increments.
It's true.
I think you'd want to keep it in, like, even minutes. I don't think you want to do, like, 302.30 or do like that. I think that would get confusing, but, I mean – you could take a minute off. I mean, that might be kind of weird, but you want to make it, I want to finish and I want to be able to celebrate that I'm going to Boston. I don't, you know, if I do qualify at Chicago, because part of the reason I, you know, lopped off the second half of Erie was, you know, a calculated decision of now I can race Chicago because it's absolutely not happening today. So, if I were to, you know, hit something, I can't even celebrate it. Like, I can celebrate a PR. I can celebrate calling myself a Boston qualifier, but I'm not getting myself to Chicago. I won't, or getting myself to Boston. I won't know.
I mean, you know, you brought it up, New York's standards, because New York has standards that get you in automatically. You don't have to go through the lottery.
They're even higher.
They are, but they're not every 5 minutes. You know, so 18 to 34 men is 253. No. 35 to 39 is 255. The age group I'm in is 258. So they have a lot more variability in there. And I'm going to guess that's probably based on what they've seen as far as registration trends over the years.
Right. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Boston take that approach. I don't know. We have no idea. It's just interesting to talk about. And you know, I think that news kind of struck everybody in a different way. It did put me as good of a mindset as I felt like I was in after Erie on Sunday. It did kind of put me in this, like, I give up. Like, I was talking to somebody and they asked, you know, like, I mean, I could get to sub 3, but I don't want to put in the work to do that. Like, I'm just being realistic. Like, that's not something I want to do. I got to be a dad and run a business and work full time. And, you know, I don't have 6 days a week. 5 days a week is tough enough. I want to go to 4 days a week. And, you know, so I'm not putting in that work.
Yeah.
And so I like, when that news came out, I'm like, I hope it doesn't stick, but I've kind of given it up. I mean, I will run Boston. I will. I will have to get there a different way. I won't be able to get there through qualification. And you know, that bums me out because I remember seeing you after you picked up your bib, and I, you know, that picture was burned in my brain through so much of my training.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, I want that for me. Like, I want that moment. And, I don't know that I'll get it to that extent, but we'll see. We'll see, you know, time will tell. Again, things will come into focus a little more as we get the results of registration at the end, probably the end of the month.
Well, you know, and you and I have talked a lot about, you know, running has seasons, and, you know, not just within a given year, but within a given time span. And, you know, you were talking about how, you know, you want to cut back to 4 days a week. I know you've talked a little bit about really kind of wanting to stop racing marathons for a while. And, you know, you might find that, you know, let's knock on wood and say the standards don't change and you do actually get to age up to a 310 down the road. You know, you might find that there's just, you go through a few years where you really take that break and you need that break and you're doing other stuff. You're doing shorter stuff. You're doing halves, having a little more fun. And then all of a sudden the urge just kind of creeps back in and you go, you know, I'm going to try to go for that 305 again, you know, try to get under that standard and see, and, maybe you do hit it there. It's just, you know, running's funny that way where there's moments you want to be all in on that one specific goal. And then there's moments where it's like, nah, I'm good. I'm completely happy with it. And, you know, for me, COVID kind of set that in where I just went, I really don't want to be training for anything right now. I want to navigate these weird times and I want to just go hike. Right. And that year off really, really helped me. So, you know, it might happen that way. That's where it's tough. It's kind of tough to know like what you want to do in 2 and 3 years because you don't know. There's just other shit going on in life.
Right. Yep. I tell you what, all this being said, I did last night purchase my plane ticket to Boston for next year. So I'm going to go back and spectate and we'll see. The thought has already been put out in my head. I'm going to see what happens with registration in Chicago, but I might try to find a bib. might have some connections. I might try to find a bib and run next year, but we'll see. Yeah. I want to get there through qualification, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really enjoyed our time last year. You should go back and listen to our recap of the Boston Marathon from this year. It was a lot of fun. We just had a great time.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that you and I started kind of last year, and it really has continued. I think it's accelerated this year is, you know, we went to Pittsburgh and we had a ton of fun. You know, we went to that Pirates game and got to see PNC Park, which is just a beautiful park. And that kind of set off this like desire to have adventure in mm-hmm. running. Yeah. And, you know, I'm, and now here I sit 3 weeks away from, you know, running the streets of Chicago, like for 26 miles and getting to experience that 26 mile block party. Like,
yeah,
you're talking about going to New York next year. Like, mm-hmm. this is like we have like really gotten out of our Northeast Ohio and Central Ohio rut, and we're you know, going out and we're experiencing different things. And yeah, I'm really excited to, you know, go to Boston again, being a little more familiar with the city.
Yeah.
And, you know, like under like being able to ride bikes again and go see the Guardians play at Fenway.
Yeah. I wish it was the weekend of, as opposed to mm-hmm. like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I plan on staying at least through Tuesday anyway. So yeah, Guardians game. It's gonna be cool that they're the game on Marathon Monday. Like, hopefully the weather's better and the game actually can get played while the race is going on. But, you know, knock on wood, if it is, like when I run past Fenway, our Guardians are going to be there.
Probably winning.
God, I hope.
Oh, Shohei Ohtani might have played his, he's probably played his last game as a Los Angeles Angel.
It's going to be
that out there.
Fascinating to see what ends up happening with him, because so much of his value is, you think so?
No, you hope so. I can dream. I can dream that he goes to Atlanta.
But no, that whole thing is really fascinating, because so much of his value is that he is elite as being both a pitcher and a hitter. And with the whole elbow thing going in the free agency, what do you do? Like, is it a situation where he truly needs Tommy John? Because if he does, he's out of here. Does he just decide, nope, I'm going to hit for the rest of my career? Like, that sucks, because this is, you know, if it's truly an elbow injury that requires long-term surgery, like Tommy John's not a short.
It's an oblique he's out with now.
Yeah, but the whole reason he hasn't been able to pitch is because of a strained ulnar collateral ligament, and that's typically Tommy John territory. Yeah, it's fascinating to see what's going to happen there. I'm glad that we got to see, you know, him with our second favorite team play in Boston. Unfortunately, he and Mike Trout couldn't do a damn thing that day.
I know, it was such a letdown.
We hyped them up so much.
But man, what a day that was. Again, go back and listen to it. And to be able to experience that again is going to be awesome. And like, I'm excited to get to experience Chicago. And I won't be able to do it quite that way. I can't go to Wrigley.
Right.
Because the Cubs suck. and it's going to be playoffs.
Yeah, he wouldn't be getting it anyway.
I have to double check the standings, because I just know the Braves are ridiculous right now. They might be in the here. This is that part of the episode where I'm scrolling around on the internet trying to get information.
Great.
It's really good when I'm really fucking tired and
the Cubs are a current wild card team.
Okay. So I mean, maybe I could get to Wrigley.
Yeah.
It would cost me a ton of money, and I don't have that. But, you know, maybe I can walk towards Wrigley and, you know, maybe experience what that's like. I don't know where it is. I will have to map it. But, what's like some of the, like, your favorite parts of just like as we've, you know, begun some of this adventure? Aspect of our running. But like, what's some of the stuff that you've really enjoyed about it?
I love just going to a new place that I don't know. And, you know, one, being able to run through it, because there's something, you know, if you're going to walk somewhere, there's only so much ground that you can cover. If you're going to drive around, there's so much detail that you miss. And so running a race through someone's city is a really cool way to experience it, because you really kind of get that. I get to cover a lot of ground, but I'm also there on the ground where I can actually see the details and appreciate them and experience them. And, you know, that was something I really took away from both Pittsburgh and Boston, was just some of the unique little nuances of these cities and these towns that you would drive past and not even notice if you were driving. you know, getting to experience the cities themselves beforehand. We weren't in Pittsburgh for long, but we did get to go experience PNC Park. That is a gorgeous ballpark with gorgeous views. You know, walking around, that's everything's so walkable there. Pittsburgh is such a compact city. Everything's nice and walkable. Really enjoyed that part. And then, of course, we got to see more of Boston. We kind of did a little bit of touristy, you know, travel in Boston. You did a little bit different because you weren't running and Erica was taking you around on bikes. But just getting to see, you know, getting to see those parts of a city that, you know, you maybe wouldn't necessarily experience if, unless you were going there to experience it, you know, for the run.
Right.
You know, seeing Boston set up for the race, like the Sam Adams tent that I ended up finding with my parents after the expo. We just happened to get lucky and have that be where we were walking and saw it. And that was just a cool little experience. Like everybody was just having so much fun there. It was like this little runner's party. And, you know, you're not going to get that if you're in Boston outside of race time.
Right.
And I think the other thing that races do, and luckily Pittsburgh and Boston both really embrace the races, people are excited to have you there in their city to be there experiencing it as runners. Pittsburgh hadn't hosted an in-person race since 2019. You know, Boston, like that race is their baby. They are so happy you're there. Everywhere we went, hey, you here to run the race? Yeah. Don't I make it obvious with my Boston jacket? But they're just, they're so happy you're there and they're wishing you luck. And, you know, you've always said there's just something about being in a city on race day, just seeing other race weekend, just seeing other runners walking around with their gear, knowing that they're there for the same reason you're there. It's cool to do that in a city that isn't your own hometown, somewhere where you don't quite know it and you don't quite know the people and you get to experience that. How about you?
Oh, I think like one thing that people like, so Abe went with me to Erie. We got an Airbnb up there and he didn't register for Erie until I secured the Airbnb because he didn't want to coordinate everything. He's always run Akron and Haunted Forest. And he even backed out of Columbus last year and ran a couple weeks early at Akron, which he shouldn't have done because he didn't want to coordinate the travel. And it's like, that's a terrible excuse to not go experience new places. Like it's definitely a step out of your comfort zone and go experience something new, because even though it was just Erie, which is honestly just Akron, it's the same town as Akron, Ohio. Like Abe and I were even joking, walking or driving through. We're like, yeah, we live here. Like it looks the exact same. But, you know, it's like, it's somewhere different. It's something new. It's different people to experience. And it doesn't always have to be like Boston or Chicago.
Right.
Like we did Pittsburgh. You know, that's not, I mean, it's a cool city, but it's not a ton bigger than Cleveland.
No.
You know, we going to Erie, like that was, Presque Isle is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like that is, I would love for that race to be in October. When the trees start turning, that would be a beautiful race. Like I really enjoyed that course, getting to, you know, only did one loop, but I really enjoyed the course. Some people dog on it. Like I thought it was great. And I, man, if I could get out there in October, that would be, oh, that would be heaven. You know, you'd get the leaves crunching under your feet and, like the sights would be just amazing. But you know, like going, you know, getting out and I'm looking at next year and, you know, I'm not sure exactly what I want to do, because some of it depends on what happens at Chicago.
Yeah.
But like, I'm looking at maybe going to like Indianapolis for the Indy Mini in May, you know, just to go somewhere else and like experience something else. It doesn't have to always be a big city. And I'm so glad that you and I did that Pittsburgh trip because it really opened my eyes to how much I enjoy like going somewhere else, even if it's just for a day or two.
Yeah.
And experiencing a different, just a different place, even if it's not a city, if it's just a different place from where I'm at. It's just fun to, it's fun to witness that and like to be a part of something else or a part of somewhere else.
Yeah. It's funny. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday, but I don't know that I ever could have foreseen like all the different things running would have brought into my life that, you know, you can go out and put one foot in front of the other anywhere. And it's just cool the number of different things that running has kind of brought it, like I said, brought into my life. Traveled going to different places, just other areas of my life that, you know, are improved because I run. I've got such a better understanding of just even this area that we're in because I've got to go find places to run. Like I have such an appreciation for like the Cuyahoga Valley and some of the metro parks around us because I got to go find new places to run. And I didn't have an appreciation for those places until I started running and I started seeking out new places to go. So it's like it kind of made me an adventure in my own backyard to start. And now we get to take that next step further, go run some different cities. I've loved when I go visit my brother in Charleston. There's been a couple of times I've run downtown in Charleston. It's just really, it's cool to experience a city that you're not familiar with and kind of see it come to life in the morning. My dad and I went to Gettysburg, I think, the first or second year I was running, and just running the battlefield was cool.
Yeah.
Because again, you were going to be able to cover more ground than you can walking. And I just got to kind of see parts of that battlefield a little more intimately than I would have otherwise. And that's a really cool thing.
Yeah. Exploring things while running, I think, is the best of both worlds. You get to do it pretty quick, but you also are in it long enough to be able to look around and enjoy it. Yeah. And as opposed to driving past something where it's like, vroom, we're gone.
Yeah.
to be in a big city and be able to like take a moment and enjoy the architect. Like when we were in Miami last year, I mean, that's such a big ass fucking city. To, you know, be there, but to like run around and get to see, you know, I mean, just to get lost for a little bit, you know, running on the like riverway that goes into the city from the bay and stuff is just super freaking cool. Like it was only 4 miles, but it was like four of the most cool miles I've ever run. Like I'm running past all these people who have way more money than they need or should probably even have in these yachts and shit, but I'm just there. Like they're within arm's reach from me while I'm on the boardwalk. Like that's wild. So yeah, to experience stuff like that, like it's cool. When we go on our cruise in at the end of October, yeah, I'm gonna be hopefully coming off back to back marathons. We'll see, TBD on Columbus. But you know, I'm not gonna run much, but I want to run in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I want to run in, you know, maybe in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, because like I just want to be able to run somewhere else and see something different.
Yeah.
And it's such a good way to do it. I mean, if you travel, put on take your running shoes with you where you go and run. It doesn't even have to be far. You know, 3 or 4 miles is, you're going to see parts of cities that you wouldn't see driving or walking.
Right.
And it's awesome. It's just awesome. I'm fading.
I was going to say, how are you holding up, bud?
Not great. I do not do shots. I'm a baby. If I get sick, I'm a baby. If I do shots and I get this type of stuff, I'm a baby. I will admit it. I'm a wuss. But I don't get sick and stuff very often. But yeah, I do feel like every time I've gotten a COVID shot, we've recorded the next day for some reason. And the first time I had COVID, we recorded with Mark Ramey. And
that's right.
And then we had Mark Freeman the day after I got my second shot. And I remember, I remember talking about like, there was so much hope. Like it was like this like real honest, like sentimental, like,
yeah,
I was in this building and there was so much hope. Man, this world is just not the same place it was when we, God damn it. It's so sad just how much we all hate each other. And some of it's for good reason. So fuck it. I don't care. It's just so funny how at one point in time we were all in this together. And now they're even networked the other day. Dudes are making fun of me because they asked what I was doing this weekend. And I said I'm getting my COVID and flu shots, and yeah, they think I'm going to apparently die from it. So I'm going to die when I'm 85 And those guys are going to be like, he was fucking vaxxed. That's what they're going to say.
It's funny. Brad Stolberg has a new book out, and it's about navigating. He does. Yeah. It's about navigating times of change, and basically the big premise behind it. And he talks about how the pandemic really kind of led to him going down this road. He was talking about how, like, early on in the pandemic, people kept saying, "Oh man, when are things going to go back to normal?" And he remembers thinking to himself, like, it's not. This is a huge world-changing event. Like, we will get to a new normal, but we're not going to go back to February 2020 normalcy the way that we knew it. And the whole premise is basically, you know, hey, we encounter some new challenge, and then we, you know, get into a new normal, and you know, he brings up the immune system. He said, hey, when you get a vaccine or you get sick, your body builds up immunity and you literally have a different body from what you had before. Like, that's the whole point of it. And I haven't dug into the book yet. I'm looking at it right now. I'm going to start reading it today. But I think going back to what you were talking about, you know, that whole idea of like, man, like, there was so much hope. I still think at that time there was this belief that the vaccines were going to come out, we were going to knock COVID out, and it's going to go right back to February 2020. It's we're going to go right back to normal. And instead, it's just this realization of, like, no, it's going to be a little bit different. There are going to be people like you and me who are very conscientious of this stuff and recognize that it's always going to kind of be there, just like the flu is. Nobody freaks out about the flu. We get our flu shots and everybody's fine. We don't need to grandstand about conspiracies and freedom of choice. Oh my god.
We fucking do.
But it's just, there is that segment of society that just is, I don't know, still kind of freaks out about the fact that this thing happened and we haven't gone back to the way things were, and I don't know.
A lot of that segment of society is still freaking out that white kids and black kids go to school together. So they still haven't mastered that change yet. So I don't know.
Well, this is a fun way to end this podcast.
Yeah, just talking about ding dongs. I've gotten really tired as we've gone through this. So yeah, so
you need to go, bud.
To wrap it up. I feel about as good as I did. I feel about as good as I did a week ago. But yeah, so get out and explore, guys. Take a chance, and you know, go register for a race. Like, if you're thinking about registering for a race that's somewhere else. So Steph Rubel, one of our athletes, she's doing Wineglass in Corning, New York. Like, that's just this small ass town.
Yeah.
Like, with a beautiful finish. I think it might be
gorgeous,
like one of the more pretty finishes ever. Because, like, instead of cones separating like half and full, it's like fucking planters with like big yellow flowers in them. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's trees falling, and it's like just set in a small quaint downtown, and it's I want to do that. Like, I want to go there. I want to run that one year. Like, yeah, get out and take a chance and explore. And I think it's valuable. I think you can see how small we are in this world, and I think that's cool, and I think that's important. So yeah, go explore a little bit. Stay safe as you do it, and feel free to, we'll be back, Adam.
We'll come back.
Matt will show up at some point.
Yeah. Let's see what happens there. And where did Matt go?
Yeah. No idea. He never showed up. He said 10 o'clock was good, and it's 11:08 and we haven't seen him yet. So,
nope.
Apparently 10 o'clock was not good for him. But we'll be back, and I look forward to talking more, and you know, maybe previewing what Chicago looks like. And
yes.
Good luck with those shots, my friend. Have fun, and feel free to like, subscribe, view us on your favorite podcast platforms. Check us out at rustbeltrunning.com, and until next time, enjoy your miles, everybody.
I love my log.